Your money, your estate plan, your retirement. Securing Arizona's future one family at a time. This is The Word on Wealth. Intelligent financial talk you can have faith in. With your host, president and co-founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates, John Dombrowski. Send your questions to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. Now, here's John.
And welcome to The Word on Wealth. I'm John Dombrowski, going to be with you here for the next hour, talking some financial talk and financial issues facing all of us. As always, if you've got questions for me, anything financial, love it if you'd shoot me an email to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. Maybe it's about IRAs, 401ks, 403Bs, Roth IRAs, insurance, real estate, estate planning or taxes. Whatever on your mind, as always, again, send those questions to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. And when we're talking about these important financial issues, I love to take the fun approach to the serious matter of your money. Good morning. Grab your cup of coffee or whatever your drink of choice is on a Saturday morning. Snuggle up. It's cold out there, huh? We got a little chilly weather this past week, which was really kind of nice. I was thinking to myself, I drove to work one day and I got out of the car. I had the dogs with me. It was really chilly. And I'm saying, wow, this really feels good, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, wow, it wasn't too long ago that we were thinking the summer was never going to end. But obviously it did, and the weather's been fantastic. So hopefully that will be saying, gee, I hope that the cooler weather doesn't seem to ever be ending. That would be a nice thing to say. And then, of course, the heat will be upon us once again. As always, I want to encourage you to go to our website at GrandCanyonPlanning.com. That's our firm, Grand Canyon Planning. And we've got some great information on the website as well as a way to get a hold of us. There's a great introductory video on the website for you to view, give you a little insight as to who we are as a financial planning firm, as well as the opportunity to request an appointment right there. One of the other things also on our website is you can also be part of and sign up for our weekly economic update. Now, what's the weekly economic update? I talk about that just briefly each and every week. That just is a nice little quick email that you'll get dropped into your email box each and every Monday, which we'll talk a little bit about what's happened over the past week in the markets and with the economy, and then also what is upcoming in the future week. And we did see, you know, week ahead, we talked about companies reporting. We talk about key economic data that is coming out throughout the week. Also, talk a little bit about what some of the topics of the week were. And we did see, of course, this past week, which is some great news. We saw the first inoculations for the vaccine for COVID-19. And that looks to be promising as we're seeing more and more shipments of the vaccines heading out to the public. Of course, it is starting with the healthcare, the first responders, the healthcare workers, and then also the elderly, and then those with specific reasons to get the virus who are more susceptible to this virus than others. And then it will flow down through to the rest of the public over time. There's talk about the possibility of a glut of vaccines out there, and things may happen sooner than we think because many may not take the vaccine immediately. They want to kind of see what's happening out there before they do it. But I'm thinking you're going to probably see, if you want to travel or if you want to be able to get back to our normal lives, maybe some of these you know, areas of the economy are going to require that you would have had a vaccine. So we'll see what happens with that. But don't fight it too much just yet. I think this could be a good thing and get us back on track. Now, also, we have here that the Fed Chair Powell this past week, and he made his comments. The Fed raised its economic outlook. And what we saw here was something very interesting. They see growth next year to be at 4.2%. with an unemployment rate of 5%, which is thinking about what we've just been through with the COVID-19 pandemic, to think that we're going to be able to get back to a 5% unemployment rate for next year. And then, of course, once the vaccine is fully implemented, I would imagine we'll start to see the economy to continue to recover. You know, we also have talk out there this week, Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Pelosi, and then, of course, the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Still continuing to meet to try to create some type of a deal for additional stimulus for the relief of COVID-19. You know, it was interesting. I was listening to one of the other talk show hosts. I think it was Rush Limbaugh. And what I heard was someone talking about an analogy. And this was really kind of interesting. We saw times when the government will want to condemn property, take property from an owner for the good of the rest of the community. You know, they talk this, they talk about eminent domain, which maybe they're going to be building a freeway through a specific area, or we're going to be developing schools or some other forms of, you know, businesses around a community. And so they want to condemn property and take that property from the owners and build whatever this is. And when they do that, they actually will pay for the land, right, that they're buying. You think about, what was it, the 101 over here where Pima is. And we saw how many miles and miles of land that was bought up by the state for this purpose of putting in the 101. And that was the eminent domain where they came in and they bought the land from the property owners. And a lot of people maybe didn't want to sell, but for the good of everyone else, they did this. But they paid for it. But now the government is telling us, okay, we're going to shut all your businesses down and you're going to force these business owners to go out of business, to lose their livelihoods, and yet you're not going to compensate them for it. It's no fault of their own. This virus wasn't something that they did, and they're not wanting to shut down, but the government is mandating this. So here's a scenario where I think that's a great analogy, right? If the government is doing something for the good of everyone else, well, they've got to compensate the people that they're damaging, and it's not happening. But we are seeing, hopefully, some signs that the House and the Senate can come together and possibly finalize an additional COVID relief bill. I don't know if it's going to happen, but boy, I sure think that it's certainly something that's needed out there, and there's a lot of people that are suffering through this, a lot of business owners, still those individuals out there who are unemployed, and unemployment benefits certainly aren't enough to support the average family out there at this point. So we're going to have to wait and see. But I hope, boy, next week there is some positive news about this. All right, we also have Brexit. Think about Brexit. Have you heard about that lately? Well, Brexit was, of course, the issue with Great Britain exiting from the European Union. Still really no finalization on that. It's been ongoing for years. But hopefully we will see some type of a resolution to that. But for that purpose, with all of the craziness going on over in Europe and the uncertainty around Brexit, you know, is that an area really that you think it's good to invest in versus the United States of America, where we're seeing a tremendous amount of recovery and growth? We're seeing all of our markets, the NASDAQ, the Dow, the S&P 500, all hitting new records. You know, it's important. I talk about sector investing and making sure that you're investing in areas of the market that are performing. And, you know, we're not trying to time the markets, but what we are looking at is economic data. We're looking at momentum in the markets, and we're making decisions based on some real information to make sure that we're trying to get as much growth as we can out of our portfolios by utilizing these specific methods of sectors that are performing. So I don't know, you know, for most of you out there, how you're approaching your investments and how you're approaching the investments that you choose within your portfolio, whether that's in your 401k or whether that's in your IRA or maybe a non-retirement account that you have out there. Oftentimes at 401ks, you get those choices which say, okay, it's a target-dated fund as an example, which says, okay, I'm going to retire in 10 years, so I'm going to pick a fund that's going to allow, you know, the 2030 fund as an example. Now, that 2030 fund is going to have a variety of different areas of the market in it. It probably has some international exposure. And the question is do you really want that? And if you're working with a financial professional, financial advisor, maybe they can help you with that. If you're not and you'd like to get some information on how you can be looking at that, understanding what's in that investment, well, that's, of course, what we can do for you. And I encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity to meet with me. And you can do that by going to our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com. And you can click right there to request an appointment. Or you can go to our website and get our phone number, which is 480-991-1055. That's 480-991-1055. And we can schedule an appointment over the phone as well. All right, well, I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. We're going to take a short break. When we come back from the break, we'll continue the discussion. We've got lots to talk about today. I've got estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz and Darren Sigrist. Talk some tax talk. We'll be right back after this.
I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow.
Come on, baby, I'm tired of talking. Grab your coat and let's start walking. Come on, come on.
Come on, come on.
Come on, come on.
Come on, come on.
All right, John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. Hey, speaking with Chris Letzel, one of our advisors here at our firm, Grand Canyon Planning. I love this song. I love Elvis. I mean, some of his stuff, I could, you know, take it or leave.
Yeah, I think it's with any band or singer.
But, I mean, what a personality, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why they call him the King.
The
King.
That's
for sure.
Gosh. What a such a shame, you know, when we see someone like that with so much but that we feel that they have, but also what they've given. I mean, think of what he's given back to the world.
And he's been passed away a long time
now. Right, right.
What, about mid-77 or something like that? Was it 1977, I think?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, talking 40 years that he's been gone, and his legacy is still strong.
Yes, yes.
That's for sure. It's interesting how you get to this time. I have two quick stories.
Sure.
One is my mom, she has an Elvis Christmas ball.
Okay.
So she always puts it on the tree.
Of course. Well, why wouldn't
you? And the joke was when we were kids is we'd move it around and, well, where's my Elvis ball? And on and on and on. You know, that's story number one. Story number two is my mom has a picture of Elvis's ear that she took when she saw him at the Westbury Music.
His ear?
Yeah, the Westbury Music Hall in Long Island, New York.
She got that close?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I'm very proud of that picture, too.
Well, you know, Michael Bublé, remember him?
Uh-huh.
He's around, obviously, very popular. Tracy and I went to a concert because she loves Michael Bublé. He's great. And so he was walking through the audience, and she actually got to touch him.
Oh.
You know, it's like she got to put his hand or whatever, grabbed his hand. So it was kind of cool. And I think I was like way in the back. I didn't have one of those selfie sticks.
Oh.
If I would have had a selfie stick, I would have been able to stick it up real high. But you know how tall I am, of course, right?
So tall enough to be on radio, John. Yeah. That's all that matters.
So it was very hard for me to reach up and get the photo. But I think I did just, you know, get the photo where she was able to see that. So it was kind of cool for her. Chris, one of the things I wanted to talk about, and I've been seeing a lot of this, and you just told me a story about a client of yours and what happened regarding a pension. And when we talk about pensions, we've always, you know, recently been talking about pensions are a thing of the past. Well, they are for new employees of companies, right, today, the new up-and-comers. However, the baby boomers, a lot of the baby boomers who are close to retirement or really ready to retire today may have some pensions that were from a previous employer or even a current employer that just no longer continued the pension, but it's still there waiting for a decision to be made whether or not to collect or to cash out or do whatever on it. So I want to talk a little bit about pensions. I'm going to let you frame out this specific issue that occurred to someone that you met with recently.
Yeah, thanks, John. I had a client come in, was offered not necessarily a package to retire. Sometimes they'll give severances.
RIF, they'll be retiring.
It was just, hey, if you want to retire early, this is what we're offering. We're offering your pension. You can start tapping into it. And in order to bridge this 57-year-old to the age of 62, his company said, hey, we're actually going to give you an extra $500 a month towards his pension.
I like that.
Me
that
too.
Sounds great. We should all, right?
And that's what everybody was thinking right away. And then as we started looking a little bit more into the fine print and the mechanics of it, the idea being bridge you until age 62 and then you turn on,
Social Security.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is the company, they're wanting folks to take an early retirement. So it's like a reduction in workforce, a RIF as we know it. And basically saying, if you take this, we're going to give you an extra $500 a month on top of what your pension income would have been.
Correct.
Until the age of 62. So we're going to bridge you to the age of 62. So if you're 57, as an example, that's going to be basically a five-year bridge.
Right.
You're going to get $500 a month.
So it's an extra $30,000.
For the
5 years.
Sounds great.
Yeah, sure right? does. Right up until
okay.
we start
read the fine
we
print.
We start reading the fine print and just looking at the mechanics of it. The thing of it is, as soon as you turn on Social Security at age 62,
right.
in this scenario, forever
mm-hmm.
you pay back the $500 to the company.
For the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life.
So they're going to reduce your $500.
Exactly right.
And they're basically going to then say, pay us back.
Correct.
The $500. So it could be a $1,000 swing in reality.
Oh,
a month.
Absolutely.
Because the $500
right.
you're reducing.
Exactly.
And
right.
then you're giving them another $500 to pay them back.
Exactly.
But
right.
you're not paying them back just what you took, the $30,000. You're saying, so if I live to be 90, I'm going to be paying $6,000 a year for the next 28 years.
Exactly right. And that's exactly the scenario that we started looking
wow.
at, starting putting pen to pad.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the website, John.
Right.
And we were looking at living to 100.
Yeah, if you go to our website, that's GrandCanyonPlanning.com. Go to the helpful links. It says their Learning Center and click on helpful links. And you can scroll down. You'll see that one link there that says living to 100 under the resources. And it's a great website, folks. What it does is it gives you an opportunity to pop in a couple of answers to a few questions. And it spits out some type of a life expectancy for you. And a lot of people don't want to do that, Chris. They're afraid to see how long they're going to live. But folks, today with our medical breakthroughs and individuals understanding health a lot better than we have in the past, eating better, hopefully, exercising, yeah, we're going to have a longer life than our parents most likely did. So we need to plan for that. And part of the planning, Chris, when we talk about this with our clients, as financial advisors, we sit down and we take that holistic approach. We're going to be looking at these opportunities for folks to receive pension income from a prior employer, or possibly suggestions if indeed they're offered a buyout of the pension. Chris, a lot of folks are offered a buyout of a pension where they take a lump sum and then they have an opportunity to take control of that pension and really direct it and invest it and manage in a way that is consistent with their values and their goals and needs for their retirement. So taking all of that into account, what did you find out and what did you ultimately advise this particular client with this once they found out what did happen in the future?
After we looked at living to 100, figured out that a life expectancy of 85 years.
Okay.
So now from age 62 until age 85, 23 years, paying back that $500 a month. So the company was generous in giving us $30,000.
Right.
Over the next 23 years at $500 per month, it came out to about $138,000.
That they were taking
that
back.
That they were going to have to pay back
wow.
if their life expectancy. Thus, a loss of $108,000, a gap
right.
of $108,000 that was going to have to be made up.
That is just amazing, Chris. So again, here's where I encourage folks to make sure that if any decision when it comes to financial, especially when you're approaching retirement or making decisions as you're entering retirement, these are critical choices, critical times for you as an individual to make sure you're making the right decisions, getting the right information to assist you, and working with an advisor that is, you know, sitting on the same side of the table as you and wanting to make sure that you're making decisions based on the facts to understand what the implications are, not just immediately, Chris, as in this case, but what the long-term benefits are or the long-term concerns that you might have with a financial decision like this. If you just arbitrarily made it on the surface, it sounds great, an extra $500 to bridge, but ultimately costing thousands and thousands of dollars based on your life expectancy, which ultimately means that it probably would have been a bad decision for this individual to do this.
And that's where we had to sit down and we had to look in the mirror and do a reality check. Maybe we're just not ready to retire yet. Maybe
right.
we just can't retire
yet. And that, I've said that to a lot of folks that come in and sit down and talk with me. You know, here's what we're thinking. And I said, well, based on what you're thinking and what the numbers look like, here's what my suggestion would be. recommendation.
And that's where stop the paperwork from the sense of taking the 500, doesn't know if he is going to retire, has to talk with his wife, and it's going to be one of two things. Either I need to work longer, maybe it's another year or two.
Gosh, 57 seems awful young to retire, Chris.
Especially when you have 30 years, he has a 30-year life expectancy beyond
from
that.
This point forward.
So you're getting close with college and a couple of years of not doing anything. He has double or the same amount of his work life is going to be in retirement.
Right. Wow.
And so you're putting pressure on that part of your retirement. So he's going to have to think about, maybe I do need to work a few more years. I mean, they offered him good health insurance in the meantime, et cetera, but maybe he does need to work a few more years just to sock away a few more dollars.
Yeah, and
because
that's
he's thinking,
a big
gosh,
difference.
If $500 makes that much of a difference in my retirement, maybe I can't retire.
Right.
So he's going to go home, he's going to talk with his wife, and he's going to think about it.
Yeah. And you
can we live on less, honey? Or do we work a little bit longer?
So you gave him some great information to think about, Chris, and that's ultimately what an advisor's job is to expose all of the positives and negatives of any decision that you're making financial, and ultimately coming up with a solution to a challenge that you may be facing to help you reach that retirement goal. Now, of course, at our firm here, Grand Canyon Planning Associates, if you'd like to schedule your own complimentary retirement assessment, we'd be happy to sit down and talk with you, review any of the financial accounts that you have, the opportunities that you have, whether it's regards to pensions or the 401ks or IRAs, the Roth IRAs, or just those other investment accounts that you have. It could be a rental property, whatever it is. We're going to take all of those into account when we're developing a plan to help you be successful in retirement. All right, I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. I'm talking with Chris Lutzel today, one of our advisors at our firm, Grand Canyon Planning. And folks, if you've got questions, as I said, you can always email those to us here at DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com or contact our Scottsdale office of Grand Canyon Planning at 480-991-1055 for your own complimentary financial consultation. We'll be back right after this short break. Days when the rains came down in the- If I had a million dollars, if I- All right, John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. As always, thanks for joining us and taking some time out of your morning. Hopefully you're having a great start to your day. And we've got plenty to talk about today, and I wanted to give you a couple ways to get a hold of us. Of course, if you've got questions on anything financial, you can always shoot me an email to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. And we'll get to some of those questions throughout the show. I've got a couple we're going to do through this segment, hopefully. And if you'd like to also get in touch with us to meet with us and schedule a complimentary consultation, you can do that by going to our website and request an appointment there at GrandCanyonPlanning.com, or you can call our Scottsdale office directly at 480-991-1055, and that's GrandCanyonPlanning.com. All right, I want to talk some tax talk right now. It is year end, and taxes are always an interesting topic around the end of the year. And for that purpose, we've got our resident tax expert, Darren Sigrist. How you doing, Darren?
I'm doing well.
Thanks. Thanks for being here, as always. Darren, of course, is a CPA with Sigrist, Cheek, Potter, and Heiser here in Scottsdale. And, of course, as tax season is approaching us quickly, if you need help with that, you can reach out to Darren at his office. It's azcpas.com.
That's
correct, Darren?
That's correct.
azcpas.com. Darren, when we think about our taxes individually, we think about individual tax returns. But if I have a business, I may also have a tax return because of my business. And if I do investments in my business, then I may have business income as well as personal income. And depending on the type of entity my business is, I may have to, do multiple tax returns, correct?
That's right. And you hear a lot about it, and we will be hearing a lot about it, I think, over the coming months, because they'll talk about tax law changes, and, the Trump tax law has changed corporate tax rates down to 21% overall, and they were as high as 35% prior to that.
Right, yeah.
And one of the discussions that always came up then is, what about, Main Street America? Most of Main Street America, most small businesses, the bike shop, the professional services companies, they really don't operate in a C corporation format. They don't pay those C corporation rates. they pay personal income tax rates, which frankly are a lot higher. Right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that was a big step down
in
tax rates when that occurred. And I know a lot of people talked about maybe converting, right, to S corporations.
To C corporations.
Or C corporations.
Yeah, C corporations, right, where the income is taxed on its own entity.
Yeah.
But if you're in a partnership, a sole proprietorship, an S corporation, that income, it ends up on your personal return, and it's taxed there on your personal return at your ordinary income tax rates.
Yeah, and you may still have to do a business tax return.
You sure will. Yeah.
But as you said, there's a K-1 or some schedule that's issued that so you can report it on your individual.
Right, and there are advantages to doing that. If you have a sole proprietorship, all of that business activity is reported right there on your Form 1040.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot more disciplined. I think it's a lot more protected. I think reporting it on a separate business return,
right,
even though a K-1 shows the income and components of income that's reported on your personal return, it's still a lot cleaner. It's a lot cleaner process. It's a lot more disciplined process for you to separate your personal and business activities.
And it's like anything else. I mean, if you've got a rental property, as an example, and you're collecting rents, it's usually best to keep a separate account for that versus, you know, just putting the rent check in your personal bank and then writing checks out for expenses out of a personal account or using different credit cards. Try to separate those things and make the accounting easy in the event there's ever a question. You can verify things so much quicker if things are separated, as you said.
Right. Right. And that is a great point, because a lot of people will set up an LLC to hold their rental property, for instance. And it's a great thing to do. It protects their personal from personal liability.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a husband or husband and wife ownership on that, it's just reported on their personal return, which is fine. But it always the unusual aspect of it is that a lot of husband and wives will report, they won't open an LLC bank account for that rental property. They'll just put it into their personal account, and that's the wrong thing to do.
Right.
Because at that point, you've just destroyed any of the legal liability protection that you formed the LLC for to begin with.
That's another. You're exactly right, Darren. I mean, I'm not an attorney. I know you're not an attorney either, but I think any attorney would probably say, especially if it's a business that has any type of liability, getting that on some other, in an entity.
Get it in an entity. If you set up an LLC, it's got get a tax ID number for it and get a bank account for it. There's a reason why you set up that LLC.
Yeah. Now, also, Darren, if you have a scenario where you've got a small business or maybe a couple of friends start a business, and they do it loosely initially. And I think you and I have talked about this before. It's usually best, if you are going to go into business with a friend or whoever, is put some type of an agreement in place. Create the entity now. It's not that expensive or difficult to do.
Right.
Create an operating agreement. What if one person decides they want to leave? What if one person decides they want to buy another person out or sell their interest in that business? All those things should be handled in the beginning.
It should be. And it's really one of those things that people ignore. They're real excited to get that business started, right?
Yeah, and that's good.
And that's fantastic. But think about all of the bad things that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of those things aren't by choice. What if one of the partners becomes disabled?
Right.
What if one of the partners dies?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many issues that can come to pass. You need to think about, okay, what is the exit strategy? What's going to happen 10, 15 years ago when this successful business needs to take action in some direction or another?
Right.
And people really don't think about it very often. Yeah. And it's something, not only should it be thought about when you're starting the entity, you need to think about those issues and how it impacts your tax return probably every year.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if not every year, every 2 to 3 years, you need to be revisiting that, because your business it's definitely changing, whether it's growing, whether it's shrinking, something's happening with that business entity. And it's a very material change that all of a sudden you're caught off guard with.
Exactly. You know, Darren, one of the things we do talk about also is that 401ks for businesses. So here's an example. With us as financial advisors, we oftentimes will meet people who maybe have created an entity, an LLC for themselves, but they're not maximizing contributions to a retirement account, right? They're making a decent income, but what are they doing? Just putting money in an IRA. And if, of course, they're under the age of 50, they can only put, what, $6,500 in?
Right.
But if you're over the age of 50 or 50 and above, you could put $7,000. Not a lot of money, to be able to put away for your retirement. But if you are an individual and you have that LLC, you can do your own individual 401k or solo 401k.
You can do your own individual solo 401k, and that allows you to really turbocharge your retirement. If you got the cash available, perfect entity, a perfect vehicle to set up for your entity. Mm-hmm. If you don't, if you got limited funds, a SEP IRA allows you to oftentimes put away more, because you can put away, with a SEP IRA, you can put away 25% of the self-employment income or the wages in an S corporation, 25% of that into that SEP IRA. With the solo 401k, you can make an employee contribution of $19,500. A catch-up contribution would put you up to $26,000 of contribution.
Yeah.
And then you can make an employer contribution on top of that.
Yeah. No, it's,
so
it's
now
a
all
big
of a sudden
deal.
You can make, you know, easily make on lower payrolls $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 of contribution.
And the interesting thing is, Darren, each one of the plans have its own, they all, both have their own unique benefits to them.
Right.
And some drawbacks, possibly. But the interesting thing is with the SEP is you're capped on based on payroll. So you usually have to pay yourself a little more if you want to put more in.
Right.
Whereas with the 401k, the nice thing is, you know, you could pay yourself less and really contribute a lot, which is really good. So
that's a good thing.
You want to talk to, of course, the tax professional about that. But those are things we do for our clients, Darren. And I know a lot of advisors don't do 401ks like that, but it is something that we can do here for our clients. So if you're a small business owner, if you're not maximizing that contribution to your or to a retirement plan, or don't have one at all, you really should pick up the phone and give us a call at 480-991-1055. Let us help you with that. Establish that 401k for yourself, or that SEP IRA, or solo 401k, or just an IRA.
There are simple IRAs if you have employees. There are a lot of ways to go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right, Darren, you know, here we are, end of the year. The thought is that, again, we want to, you know, do everything we can to minimize our tax liability. One of the things to do is you make those contributions to the 401ks. You still have time to do that, right?
Correct.
But also, you know, maybe that transitioning, selling some of the losses you have to offset some of the gains you had throughout the end of the year. Those are things too. Trimming those gains, as it would be.
Yeah, trimming those gains. I think look at charitable contributions if you are itemizing on your tax return. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. Take a look at what losses you're carrying forward. You may want to accumulate, if you're close to retirement, accumulate some of your losses this year. Even if you don't have a lot of gains, accumulate those losses going forward in retirement. You might be able to generate some tax-free income when you do generate some capital gains.
Also possible to do a Roth conversion.
Right.
You know, you still have time for that if it makes sense. Something to consider. Darren, appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Darren Sigrist
of Sigrist, Cheek, Potter & Heiser. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. Stay with us. We've got lots more to talk about on the other side of this break.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
We'll build a dream house out of love for you. Close to the sun in a day and new.
All right, John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We've got few more things to talk about this segment, and hopefully you are enjoying your weekend. As I mentioned earlier, it's a beautiful time out there. Weather's been fantastic. I'm happy to be here in Arizona. It's great. One of the things I want to talk about is, of course, ways to get a hold of us. You can go to our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com. You can request an appointment there. There's a lot of great information on the website, as well as an introductory video to show you who we are as a financial planning firm, as well as our phone numbers if you'd like to call us directly at 480-991-1055, and you can get in touch with us via the phone and schedule an appointment. As always, shoot me those email questions to dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com, and I'm going to talk about a question here that I believe is more in the legal realm. So for that purpose, we've got estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz joining us. Good morning, sir. How are you, Jonathan?
Good, John. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
All right. So I know you have a question to ask me, but...
Yep, I got other things I want to talk about.
Couple quick things.
Yes.
This is my theme. Wear a mask, protect yourself, protect everyone else around you. Follow social distancing.
Right.
Wear a mask. Okay. And I can't say that enough. Wear a mask. And by the way, when you're wearing a mask, if your nose is not covered, it's not, you're not wearing a mask. Okay. Those of you who I'm speaking to know who you are. If the mask is only covering your mouth and not your nose, you're not wearing a mask. And I see you, and I can't take it anymore.
So wait, well, I want to now. Okay, I'm going to just say this, and I agree with you. Wear the mask. There's nothing wrong. Wear the mask if you're near people. If you're outside walking in a parking lot,
not talking about that.
And you're not within 10, 20 feet of somebody, you're fine. It was interesting. One of our other advisors, Chris.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know, we talked about that where someone came up, walked. Like 30, 40 feet up to him, took the mask down and said, well, how come you're not wearing your mask?
And if you see me in a parking lot and I'm not wearing a mask, yell to me across the parking lot, don't come up to me.
That's ridiculous.
Right? Yeah. Dad, I don't want you to come up to me. And I won't come up to you either, but you can yell across the yard
to
me.
So just briefly, Jonathan, what was interesting too, before we get into the topics here, I did see, of course, this week was the first week where they started to introduce the vaccines.
Yeah, and that was great. That was the last thing I was going to say, which right. I think is really important. This is my other public service announcement is this. Please understand there are going to be people committing scams out there with the vaccine.
Yep.
So I strongly, strongly urge you, do not take a vaccine from anyone else than an authorized medical professional. If you think you got a line on getting it early from your friend Ralph, who's behind the fries, don't do it because it's a scam. And I've already read about this. It's already going to roll out. And I feel like Arizona is going to be like ground zero for
this. So there's two things, too, that I found out that happened this week that I read about. One is that some of the people who early on got the injection for the first part of the Pfizer injection have had a reaction to it.
Yeah, and
it might be
sick for a couple of days.
Yeah. So this is going to be interesting. It's going to be a little bit of a trial. Even though we've gone through the trials, quote trials, we're going to, as they start to mass produce this and mass,
Yeah, and I'll just add something else, one other thing. So don't only get it from an authorized medical provider. So, and the other thing is, because all the vaccines are all going to require two doses, you cannot mix. If you start with one company, you have to get the dose from that exact company. You can't switch to the other company. It won't work.
I would imagine.
They're a match set.
I imagine, Jonathan, they're going to do a second appointment immediately. So if I got the vaccine today and we know within 21 days you're supposed to get the second vaccine.
You would imagine that,
they
John.
They would schedule an appointment.
But as we know, common sense doesn't always prevail. So that's why I'm giving these ridiculous public service announcements. Yeah. Right. This is the point of it. Is that be careful, be vigilant. Don't think that these check everything and make sure it's right. Is my point.
That's great advice. Here's the other side of this too. Is I did see also some of the shipping. Of course, the Pfizer vaccine has to be kept at a certain temperature, and the concern was that it wouldn't be kept cold enough. In one of these, it was too cold. And it did damage it. So there's going to be a variety of issues that we're going to be faced with as this is rolled out.
And those of us who have purchased wine online and had it shipped to us, we know how much they struggle with keeping that at the right temperature. Yeah. We don't even require it to be cold.
Right.
We just don't want it to get too hot.
Don't ship it in July. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
When it's 110 degrees out, don't ship it. Anyways.
Right. All right, Jonathan. So here we've got an email. And this email comes from Ellen. And Ellen says, "Dear John, recently I was notified from my bank that my information had been, given out somehow in other ways. It was compromised, her information, Jonathan. And Ellen wants to know what is the recourse that she has if in the event something happens to her credit. The company apparently has offered her 2 years of some type of credit reporting service.
So number one, she wants to know what she can do. Number one, sign up for that.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, immediately go to annualcreditreport.com. You can call me and I can give you, there's a website that's free, that's legitimate, that will give you the ability to pull each of the three bureaus once a year for free so you can check your credit report. So if you don't already do that, you need to check your credit report because you need a baseline. Mm-hmm. So you need to see what's on there. I would also probably advise subscribing to your own credit monitoring service. There's many out there.
Right.
In addition to this free one that's going to be provided. Okay. Because by the way, the free one's not going to be that good. Secondarily, you might also consider placing a credit freeze or notification on each of the bureaus that this has happened.
Right.
And that's something I can talk to you about as well, so that any creditors might be a little more vigilant if they go to open credit.
Right.
The other thing is you just have to watch it. Now, you want to see what this bank or this financial institution sends you, but it would be my understanding that if you are a victim of identity theft and suffer some damages, you have potential claim against this company.
Hmm.
But it's really hard to prove. So the other thing you could do is you could contact this company. You could ask them for more. You could ask them for something else. But unfortunately, there's just not a lot to do, and there's so many people affected. Yeah. You just have to be very vigilant at this point. And
well, I think, Jonathan, if you remember, I forget which of the credit bureaus it was that got hacked.
Experian.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many 100 million people?
We all suffer from that. I mean, I can tell you a quick thing that I do. It's just annoying because you can't go get instant credit.
Right.
I just put a block on all three bureaus.
Right.
So I can't go get credit. I can't apply for anything unless I lift the block.
Right.
I have to physically sign into an account or go to a website to lift the block.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what that means is that no new credit could be granted me because there's a flag where my credit is frozen. Each of the three bureaus is frozen.
Right. But you can do that. But as you said, if you ever wanted to do, you want to, on the weekend, you're out and you want to go buy a car, it's like you got a challenge because no one can run your credit.
And you'd be surprised, a lot of people run your credit. And yeah. I've run into this before where mm-hmm. I've been denied because I have the block on there.
Right.
But you know what? I didn't want it that badly anyways.
Yeah.
Because
maybe it's a good way, Jonathan.
Yeah, because the times I wanted to buy something, well, you know, when I wanted to buy a car, I just released my credit for 30 days.
Right.
And I went out and bought a car.
Right.
And I'm okay. I mean, I don't know. I had this. Someone wanted to give me a credit card. I was at the bank. They're like, "We'll give you a credit card right now." And I'm like, "Well, I got a credit block. I can't do it." "Oh, it won't. It won't affect it." I'm like, "It will." "What credit bureau do you pull from?"
Right.
And they're like, "Oh, it'll be fine." I'm like, "No, it won't because there's a block on there."
Did they try it?
No,
you should have made them
no,
try.
No, they just tried, and then I finally felt so bad because I feel bad. I want to help people out. I was like, I got to go. I don't have time for this. Yeah. I don't want another credit card.
Right.
Open my wallet up. You know, I don't need another credit card.
Who needs more credit cards? Nobody. I get it.
I don't.
But I can't tell you how many credit card, things pre-approved that I rip up every week that come in the mail.
And so the goal here with this, and this is a whole other issue. You want to be very careful. The goal is if you're trying to build credit and you're getting a credit card now, then I would suggest you call John, and John can kind of maybe tell you what some of your best options are. If you already have a credit card that you've had for a long time, you don't want to get rid of it. You want to keep it. And if you're thinking about opening up a new credit card because it is a lower rate, well, that's a whole different story, and we can talk about that as well.
Right.
Right. But there's all these different things. But the idea is you probably shouldn't be closing out old credit cards because it will hurt your credit score.
It is an interesting thing, isn't it, John?
Because the older the credit and the better you've used it, the better it adds to your score. So for instance, I have credit cards that I've had for 30 years.
Sure.
I'm not canceling them ever.
Right.
Right. And there's a reason why, because they like to see that. I know you've had credit cards for a long time ever.
Yeah.
And both you and I, we just don't like change. So if something works, let's keep it. Right.
Sure.
We have something that we like.
And we don't keep a balance on our credit cards. So interest rate that the credit card company would charge on an open balance doesn't matter to us because I'm not leaving an open balance.
And if I do have a balance and I have to pay the interest, that's just my penance for making this dumb purchase. Right? It's my penance. And the goal is to pay it off as soon as I can.
As soon as you possibly can.
That's me getting scolded. You shouldn't have purchased this.
Yes. Ellen, hopefully that answers your question. The other thing too, Jonathan, if she did have some breach where it really affected her, then she has the opportunity, doesn't she, of maybe going back to the bank and
well, I mean, there's something we can go. I mean, because this breach has occurred, she could file a police report.
Yeah.
But they're just going to take this informational report. But she wants to document everything that's happened so that she has some recourse going forward. And she needs to be proactive. She can't ignore it.
Right.
But I'd love to talk to her about it further.
Estate planning attorney Jonathan Munch, thank you so much. Ellen, thank you for the email. Again, folks, as always, shoot those email questions to me at dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. Boy, that went really quick today. Hopefully you enjoyed this show. And if you have any other further questions or discussions you'd like to have, please go to our website at grandcanyonplanning.com, request an appointment. I'm John Dombrowski. Until next time, reminding you, don't run out of money before you run out of time.
The Word on Wealth with John Dombrowski, president and co-founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates. Call and schedule your complimentary financial consultation at 480-991-1055. For personalized financial and retirement advice, that's 480-991-1055 or toll-free at 1-866-991-4272. Visit us at GrandCanyonPlanning.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Securities and advisory services offered through Client One Securities, LLC, member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor. Grand Canyon Planning Associates, LLC, and Client One Securities, LLC are not affiliated.